feel like a lot of things that are supposed to be good these days, to me, I don't like. And, like, maybe the last, couple months, and I understand that this is just, opening the door for derision, but I feel like my taste is just getting worse, because, like, I know how acclaimed Memento is. And I'm watching. I was so fucking bored. Like, I kept getting on my phone. I'd be like, no, pay attention. And then I'd be like, I'll pause. I'll go read a comic. I'll come back later. Like, I just wasn't invested.
Read a comic is shorthand for go to Pornhub.
No, I was actually reading comic books. But yeah, like, there's a bunch of things in there. Like, I've been doing, been watching, like, a bunch of movies over the last couple years, and like some TV shows, and there's a lot of critically acclaimed things that I've been watching, and I'm just like, I think this is the most boring shit I've seen. And my takeaway is, did I always not like good things?
Well, I'm sorry that there weren't any lightsabers or boy wizards in Memento.
I thought all the acting was great. But something about it. But yeah, that just had me thinking today about, like, where my taste is going and what I'm into compared to, like, I don't know, what the masses are into.
Yeah. I don't know. It you are going back and looking backwards at a lot of things. And sometimes it's just something that hooks the cultural zeitgeist and
Ian,
people respond to it.
You can't help but look backwards, though, because virtually everything that's created new today is some kind of repackaged version of the old stuff.
Oh, you sent me that new Fresh Prince cast list.
Oh, that bummed me out so bad.
There's so much of it. There's so little new original content, and the repackaged stuff almost never lives up to the original. That's a fact, Jack.
There's plenty of new content.
Straight shooting Matt Cassel over there. Is that a new character they're playing? Listen here, Mac.
Welcome to episode 386 of the McSauce Podcast. My name is Paul McGinty. With me, as always, are Ian the Sauce Sharpley.
Hello.
And Matt Cassel.
It's Matt the Straight Shooter Cassel.
You got that right, Jack? Want to rhyme something with Jack, and then it just didn't happen. It is Wednesday night. What is this? The 22nd? September 22nd?
All day.
We are
first
here.
First day of fall.
I am so sweaty right now. Like, my
it's
my
warm
shin
in this room.
Is like,
why did I wear a hoodie?
Soaking wet. Well, I feel like all.
Wait, why is just your shin soaking wet?
I guess this is like menopause. This time of night, like, my shins just start sweating.
My shins.
You know, the back of my knee too.
I got lower body sweats,
but only on the front.
It's funny. We've been freezing our balls off down here
all summer.
Yeah.
And now on the first day of fall, we're fucking sweating.
The heat is fall.
It is the first day of fall. We're not going to talk about fall tonight, but we're
although that was proposed. Hey, let's talk about leaves. And
I think it would have been
the lack of chlorophyll.
I think it would have been a really fun topic to talk about some fall things. Maybe next week, listeners, if you're lucky. But tonight we're going to talk about at least one episode of Star Wars Visions, because that's all we watched. Well, Matt watched two.
I watched, all the first two.
Yeah.
They're little bite-sized chunks. It was only about 14 minutes. It took us longer to hook up
Paul's
Fire Stick than watch
that
it.
Fucking thing. Did either of you notice what the longest episode was?
It looked like maybe 22 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, it did take us just as long to You know what? It wasn't. That's not an error on us. We did everything right. Turned on the Fire Stick. Updated Disney Plus. The Fire Stick does not allow you to back out of a show in Disney Plus that you hit on accident.
Once you pick the show, you're watching that show, Jack.
That's a fact. So why don't we kick things off with housekeeping with Ian Sharpley.
Mixsauce.com, you can go there, and it's the home of our webcomics, our podcast. Check out...
Why are you laughing?
I'm so sweaty.
See all the sweat at Mixsauce.com.
This is house cleaning, keeping, and Paul cleaning. He needs a bath.
You can send us your shin deodorants at any of our social medias. If you sweat through your t-shirt, no problem. We got you covered. Go to tpublic.com, type in Mixsauce, and you can order a brand new shirt.
If you sweat through your t-shirt, that is actually no problem, because that happened to us at Erie Comic Con. And what did we do? Gave a fan a shirt.
It was very hot.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering, who sweat? Super fan Aiden Mick.
Yeah.
Sweat through his first Mixsauce shirt. So what did we do, Ian? You weren't there, but we gave him another Mixsauce shirt.
Well, he's very swole. He works out a lot. I think he's on the juice.
You think he's on?
He's definitely juicing. Yeah. He's got to be juicing.
Yeah. Do you see the size of his forehead?
I did.
This
I did.
Is
well, he has
Aiden,
a much
I don't,
man,
I don't feel
an
like
airplane on that thing.
I don't feel like this, Aiden. You're a growing boy.
He has a perfectly normal sized forehead. It's next to my tiny ass head that makes his look like you could land a plane on.
We're just little old men, and you're young and vibrant. Go to our Patreon. I'm completely distracted here with between the juice and
sweat
shin
talk.
Sweat.
This is the wettest episode.
There is no good hydration segue for me to get you guys to Patreon. If you want to hear sweat talk, go to Patreon, pay $5. We give you generally 4 episodes a month, special episodes a month. But, and whenever you fill out the survey that will be sent to you, you can request sweat talk if you want. So Patreon.com/Mixsauce.
Isn't there some old episode where, like, the title was something about wet? Like, this is not the...
Yeah, the wet crystal.
Ah.
What was that? That was
very wet movie.
The Dark Crystal audio commentary.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's right.
That we recorded while we watched the Jim Henson classic, The Dark Crystal.
If you go to Spotify or any place that finer podcasts are distributed, you can find the entirety of all of Mixsauce's regular main feed episodes, almost 400 episodes.
Ian, that sounds like a lot of really great content. How much is that going to cost our listeners?
It's free, Mac!
It's almost criminal that we idiots are allowed to be on something like Spotify. We share the same digital space, you know, with Drake and Ariana Grande.
Yeah. If you accidentally type in the wet crystal, you get us.
Also, I encourage everyone to type in the wet crystal.
Is that what comes up if you type in the wet crystal?
Let's try it out.
All right. This is a live test, folks. Ian is now typing the wet. He's about to type the crystal.
If you type in the wet crystal, that is the first thing that will come up.
That's awesome.
Followed by The Wet Spot by Passion Poet.
What if, do me a favor, type in cheese talk.
Now, you may have to follow us also on Spotify, so do that first and then type in.
We're not.
We're not even on here.
Well, ours was surprise.
Surprise cheese talk.
So yeah, there's a no cheese talk. Exclamation cheese talk! Exclamation.
I think it's surprise colon cheese cheese talk exclamation.
Huh.
No, that doesn't come up. But I guarantee you guys that
well, it's the wet crystal comes up.
The wet crystal definitely comes up. So go on Spotify. follow the McSauce podcast and then experiment your, with weird title names. The Wet Crystal will definitely come up.
So we're here to talk some Star Wars tonight. We've had some different opinions about Star Wars over the last few years.
Actually, they've been pretty consistent, our opinions.
I think our opinion is we don't like it anymore.
yeah, I suppose.
Sorry, Bobby Lynn.
We were talking about, you know, what episode this was going to be tonight, and I was like, oh, it's, what about Star Wars Visions? I said, I'm not watching that. And Matt just wrote back, cool. But I didn't know... I didn't know how to read that cool. I read it like, oh, he's being a jerk. He's mad.
So why did you not want to watch it? Because there was nothing that, from what I've heard about it, that made me say, ugh, I don't want to watch that.
Because I watched the trailer, and that's okay. When I was like, oh, yeah, I don't need to see any of this.
And that's, so for
it's
those...
It's like how I watched the trailer for, what was that, like, Resistance cartoon?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I don't need any part of this.
Now,
so go ahead, Matt.
But you knew this was like an anime kind of treatment to Star Wars.
I did.
And you have been indulging in those Studio Ghibli things, so you have been kind of immersing yourself in anime.
Yeah, I watched Akira not too long ago. you know, Avatar and... Voltron Legendary Defender are Avatar anime light, I'd like to say. So, yeah, I'm no stranger to anime. What turned me off was, when I heard they were doing this, I thought this was going to be like, we just saw the Icon for it. Those like retellings of scenes from Forces of Destiny.
I thought it was Galaxies of Adventure.
You people know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Anyhow, yeah, I thought it was going to be like they'd take a scene out of Phantom Menace and just kind of not just do it frame for frame in an anime style, but kind of retell it sort of like a what if, but with anime and with like parts of the original. Well, not. The actual movies.
Can I clarify what it is? It's actually Galaxy of Adventures.
We were close.
We saw something.
None of us.
There was another thing that said Destiny.
Forces of
something.
Destiny.
Yeah, but I think that is completely different.
Anyway.
So, yeah, anyhow.
So you thought that this
was
just going to
be
like Japanese inspired. Retellings
versions
of the
yeah,
OG.
And not necessarily, you know, word for word, frame for frame, but, you know, taking some like different twists, like maybe there would be some different plot points, different dialogue, just kind of these really artistically blown out versions of parts of the movies. Mm-hmm. And then I watched the trailer for this and I was like, oh, this has nothing to do with anything like that. There's like some of the people are dogs or bears.
Well, I mean, Wookiees
like, yeah,
and stuff, you know.
I don't know. No, not that. And I guess, like, in the Star Wars universe, you know, humanoids could have bear heads. But it seemed like, I was like, oh, well, that thing's like, that's a teddy bear. It's sort of like I'm watching, like, My Little Pony, but with, like, Star Wars. With like a lightsaber in it. Hmm. It was totally not what I thought. And it didn't interest me. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, this is gonna fall by the wayside like the Bad Batch did. Like, not gonna watch it.
Yeah.
And then you guys strong armed me into it tonight.
It was a labor of love to get it set up. Down here in McSauce Studios, we have a Fire Stick, but it was behaving poorly, we'll have to say.
It was behaving like you might expect an Amazon product to behave.
Ooh.
That wasn't that bad of a dig. I could have said it's behaving like a Microsoft product.
Oh, how dare you. That is awful.
Harsh.
So we did watch the first one, The Duel, which was sort of a Ronin warrior traveling through the forest of and coming along a village, which then was stormed by some pretty beat up looking stormtroopers, I would have to say.
They looked like sequel era stormtroopers.
Yeah, or I thought sort of Mandalorian era stormtroopers, like their stuff was kind of disheveled and beat up.
It was, but the design on the helmet was the more modern, like episode 7, 8, 9 stormtrooper. So it made me wonder, first of all, I don't think any of this stuff is canon, so it's not really even worth being like, well, where does this fit in exactly? Mm-hmm. But it seems like it's that era, so I don't know if it's supposed to be before or after the sequel trilogy. But
and they did mention some of the villagers said something about, like, oh, they think the war's still on or something like that.
Right, so what are they talking about? Like the one-year war that we were given in the sequel trilogy, or the Galactic Civil War that raged for decades?
For weeks.
From a certain point of view. Yeah, it looked like they were classic stormtroopers, all made up in, you know, different samurai era garb. Like some of them just, I thought some of the designs were really neat, because some of them just had the bottom of the helmet and you could see their eyes and the tops of their heads. Some of them had like the the big fanned out like samurai head, or, you know, the back of the helmet. That stuff was kind of neat. I also thought it was neat that they rolled up in the body of an AT-AT. No legs, no head, just a flying body of an AT-AT.
You really got the feeling that the Empire has seen some better days, but they were still threatening and scary to this village of random assortment of recognizable aliens, but I didn't.
Had a Sebulba.
Yeah.
It had a
Death Star droid.
It did. It had a Reez.
Oh, and it had a Bosk.
Yeah.
Didn't have a Bosk.
What else did it have?
I can hear our Star Wars fans say, they're called Trandoshans, you prick. I call them Bosks.
You prick. I think what they're really saying is they're called Trandoshans, Jack.
That's straight shooting fans.
That's one thing they always say about McSauce fans.
They're straight shooters.
They're real straight shooters.
I think they say other things about them, but
yeah, some of the designs were cool. Lady Sith with that teeth mask.
I liked her umbrella lightsaber.
I liked when she like actually used it as an umbrella to float down gently.
Yes.
I was like, okay, Penguin.
Poppins technology. Was Mary Poppins a Sith?
Yes.
She's part of Disney now.
The umbrella lightsaber was probably the stupidest fucking thing I've seen.
Ah, you didn't like it? I thought
so
it was cool.
Fucking dumb. Oh, and listeners, if you haven't seen it, it's not a full umbrella. It's just the wire frame of an umbrella, but there's a lightsaber blade on each one of them. And they raise up, like, if you spin it too fast, they'll all go out to the side. And it was just so
it looks like an amusement park ride.
Stupid. I was like, is she going to use this the whole fucking time? And thankfully, she didn't.
She pulled the handle out, and then all of the little multi-blades kind of contracted into one full-sized lightsaber.
Because it felt like there was probably something that reflected the blade out into the
mirrors.
Different, yeah.
There's obviously
Kyber mirrors.
There were mirrors on the inside. Everybody knows mirrors reflect lightsaber blades through various openings.
I thought it was a cool take on, you know, we've done a lot of different stuff with lightsabers. I thought it was cool.
Heaven forbid you just have a lightsaber.
But then she did.
Didn't Freud once say, can't a lightsaber just be a lightsaber?
I think he said, you want to fuck your mom with a lightsaber.
No,
what Freud said.
I've been in traditional one-blade lightsaber camp my entire life. Even when Darth Maul pulled out the fucking dual saber, I rolled my eyes.
You're like, boo! That's not how they go.
I didn't like it.
Doofus.
You really thought that?
Yeah, I didn't like it. I never liked
Matt, I can imagine. I wasn't there. I wouldn't know, but I bet he was that grumpy. Boo.
Okay.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, I just wasn't like.
Yeah. Because the way Darth Maul wielded that thing was like way less cool than the way Alec Guinness wielded a lightsaber in A New Hope.
I'm not here to disparage that lightsaber duel or the music that played behind it, which was outstanding. Like, fantastic. But, yeah, I wasn't like, oh, I gotta get me one of those. Like, it just wasn't. I just like a standard lightsaber.
You're also from London because you're like, oi,
oi.
Yeah, whatever. when we were teenagers in the theaters, or no, not even better. Remember whenever Fox broadcast the trailer for Episode One, Phantom Menace? On I forget was it before X Files or something like that?
No, that was Episode Two.
Well, they did. They also did it for Episode One. It was on.
Oh, I don't
it was on TV.
That.
I had it on tape. I remember taping it.
Wow.
And I bet Paul sat there. He probably also was taping it. And Darth Maul pulled out the second part of his lightsaber. He was like, whatever happened to tradition?
Hey, I'm sorry you double-bladed heads just can't accept
it's
that.
It's just like cool shit. That's
a
all,
a lightsaber
buddy.
Is well, cool on its own, and you don't need to make it fancier.
Agreed.
You especially don't need to make it a fucking umbrella.
It was fun.
Ugh, so dumb.
Paul, were you a big fan of General Grievous in Episode 3?
Yeah, now that's fucking dumb.
Four lightsabers?
But they were all individual lightsabers.
Oh, okay, that means that is... By the bylaws of fandom.
No mirrors there.
We're walking a fine line here, Matt, because I don't really like General Grievous, but I kind of like the way he collected those lightsabers.
He was fucking dumb. You know? Get out of here. That sucks.
I just said I didn't really like General Grievous. But I did like the, you know, I killed some Jedi's, I took their lightsabers.
I don't think it was.
I thought that was
kind
of cool.
I thought it was stupid.
Anyway.
You thought him collecting lightsabers was dumb or just
no, I thought he was dumb.
Yeah, I thought he was kind of weird. I'm not a big Grievous guy.
You know, I remember when I first saw the Episode One trailer, I probably told this story before, but I skipped school to go see it in the morning. There was only one theater in, like, Pennsylvania that was showing it. It opened with either Meet Joe Black or The Waterboy.
Did it not play before the special editions?
No.
No, the special editions came out in, like, winter of 97. Mm. So I don't think they had been
filmed
yet.
I must have seen
yet.
That before Meet Joe Black because I saw that in the theater.
Yeah, I
it's
remember
possible.
Going to see Meet Joe Black for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think we walked out and like, all right, fuck all this.
Wait, you walked out after you saw the double-sided lightsaber and were
yeah, I was
out?
Like, what the fuck?
I was like, it's a good thing Brad Pitt's coming in a minute. Something traditional.
Brad Pitt. I went for The Waterboy, which I still think is one of Adam Sandler's best. But they showed it before the movie, and then they showed it after the movie, which I thought was really cool. But I can remember the theater was not very full. It was November of 98 is when this was. And there were a handful of people, business men, you know, people wearing like suits or
men of
at
business?
Least business casual men.
So if you were going to a sporting event in the 40s.
Yeah.
Men, men of business.
There were no derby hats. I mean, it was just
like a bunch of dudes in derby hats with suitcases and then yeah. Matt in his fucking Return of the Jedi shirt.
But like literally there were, I can remember multiple people basically coming in, standing in like the aisle, wouldn't even sit down. And then left after the trailer. They were just there for the trailer. And unanimously, everybody thought it was cool, including the double-sided lightsaber when Darth Maul.
There were no traditionalists in this
no
viewing.
No traditionalists in this viewing.
You
and
guys make your jokes. I was fucking amped about that trailer.
Up until.
I was too, man. Right? You mean
that
after
wasn't
you
a deal breaker, Ian. I'm not crazy about it, but it's not a deal breaker.
it was really cool, and I was so because that was like the one day you could go see it. It was like on a Tuesday, okay? Then it was going to have a national release the following Friday, and it was going to be attached to the Wing Commander movie with Freddie Prinze Jr. And then it would, you know, get out there. And like, yeah, I think it was on, well, actually, it probably didn't go on the Star Wars website until after that Friday. But my internet at home was 28.5K. Paul, that's slow.
Yeah.
That's like half of 56K or whatever. And my brother was at college. I was still in... No, wait, I was in college too, but I still lived at home. My brother was away at college, and at his college, he had high-speed internet. And he was able to see it, and... I was on the phone with him, and he was like, yeah, I downloaded the trailer. I was like, play it. Let me listen to it over the phone. So I can remember him playing it. Man. And then I'm like reimagining what I had seen in the theater like a week ago.
Oh, man.
Like, oh, my God, this sounds so good.
Oh, buddy.
This is like Matt's version of phone sex.
That is actually a really good, description.
Matt calls like 1-800-JUGS and he's like, can you just play me the Star Wars trailer?
1-800-JAR-JAR.
It's like, hold please. Dun, 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 dun.
I think we even heard a little bit of that Duel of the Fates theme in this thing tonight.
I don't think so.
A little bit, and where when they're on the log.
I think it was inspired by. I don't think that was it, though.
Okay. Sure. Close enough.
Okay. I mean, that's like saying, yeah, that was Darth Vader's lightsaber because it was red.
I didn't say they played the track.
I thought that's what you just said.
No, I didn't say they played the track.
You said that that's the song they played.
I said we heard a little bit of Duel of the Fates. We heard some of that, like, we heard some of that song.
We didn't. We heard something that was kind of like it.
Close enough. We heard something close enough to Duel of the Fates. You didn't hear it either, Ian?
I'm staying out of this one. I'm not a traditionalist.
So you don't think there was anything that sounded anything like Duel of the Fates in that?
There was definitely hints of it, but it wasn't Duel of the Fates.
You know I said the opposite of what you're trying to say that I said.
No, you're saying the opposite of what Ian's not saying that I said that you think I said.
Oof. It was okay. It was not Duel of the Fates. It was inspired by that music. But it was not
It was
that
the only
music.
Part of the music that stood out to me. Like, oh, this is Star Wars stuff. Because, like, there was a ton of sound effects. And that's what really felt Star Wars-y about it. Other than, like, a lot of the, like, aliens and R2 in a, like, rice paddy hat or whatever. Can you not say rice paddy hat? That's what they're called, right?
I don't know.
Did I just get myself canceled?
Yeah, I don't know. Whoever knows. Traditional, like, straw hat, right?
Yeah, I thought they would have pulled a little more of the music in at times.
Yeah. So overall, did you guys like it? I thought it was kind of cool, honestly. But whenever I look at the rest of the things that are on the lineup, the rest of the episodes, they look nothing like this. So I don't think that I'm going to get anything close to what we got in The Duel.
I was watching this wondering why they led with this and didn't put it somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Because I think if you're promoting this is like the Star Wars anime, like most of Western culture knows anime as what those other, you know, screen caps look like, not this. Like, yeah. I've watched a lot of shit. I have never seen anything like that.
Yeah, it looked, and that's another thing that I thought was cool about it, was it looked like sort of like charcoal pencil drawings animated. And I've never seen anything that looked like it, and it was really cool.
Yeah, I was kind of torn because part of me didn't like it because it looked like there's a certain Photoshop filter where I forget what it's, I forget what the filter is called.
Plastic wrap?
No, it's not that. I don't even know if it's a
swirl.
I don't even know if it's a filter. I think it's probably watercolor? In like adjustments or whatever. And like you can
threshold?
Like pulsarize.
Welcome to pulsarize? Name that filter.
Pulsarize? Is that the just your special recipe filter?
I knew I should have looked this up before, because I knew I was going to bring this up. I knew I should have looked it up, because you guys are just going to like get on my ass about it. Matt, I know you know what it is, and I know the second we open Photoshop, we're going to be like, oh, yeah, that's the thing. But, yeah, it looked like, it looked sort of like generic to me, because everyone moved. It looked like they just threw this filter over a bunch of people moving.
Yeah, it was like rotoscoping.
That's what it was. And, like,
I think that's what it is. I think that's
it probably
what was going
is a
on.
Little bit of rotoscoping,
yeah,
but I mean, stuff that we like is rotoscoped too.
Yeah,
so
sure. Like, and this looked like part of it looked really neat, like a lot of the way the 3D stuff was handled with that rotoscoping. And but ultimately, like, I don't know if I like that style of art.
I don't think that I want a full 22 episodes of that, but for what that was, the subject matter, sort of the tone of it, we don't know what the warrior's name is. We don't know.
Actually, I think they called him Ronin, or is that
yeah,
just
they
a,
said Ronin's just like a, wandering warrior kind
that's
of
what that means
slang. Yeah.
Okay.
So for the whole tone and everything, I thought it fit perfectly. But I wouldn't want a whole series that looked like that. But yeah, I don't know. I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah, like, and that's yeah, and like, I'm not completely dismissing it. I think there's something really neat about it, and I sort of want, I mean, I don't want to have to go through and watch all of these things, but when I'm looking at all the images for each episode, nothing looks even remotely like this. And if I like, there didn't even look like anything like Samurai Jack style.
Who?
In there. Like, everything looked like Korra. It looked like some...
Are you sure
like,
it's not Samurai Mac?
Samurai Jack?
Yeah, we're just... No, I'm teasing.
Oh, I hear what you're saying. Sorry.
Yeah, there's really nothing else in... When I look at these screen caps that really draws me in or has me interested.
If, like, yeah, if there
nothing,
was more weird... stuff like that, I'd be like, oh, that might be neat. But everything,
like, even in the screen cap of this one, you can clearly tell that, you know, it's a lightsaber in here. It looks like some force shit's going on. But all the other stuff, I can't tell. I don't know. Like, it just looks like some anime stuff to me.
Yeah, and maybe that's a slight on our part, too, because I think a lot of the anime stuff that we don't know about does look like this stuff. Maybe they don't need to, you know, cater to the Avatar or Korra audience. Maybe they're trying to get us more into the Demon Slayer audience, the My Hero Academia audience. Like, there's a lot of anime out there that looks, I mean, just looking on, scrolling through stuff on Twitter, like, something will pop up and I'm like, how do I even find what this is? Like,
yeah.
Like, there's stuff that doesn't even... The only time it crossed my path is when someone posts, like, some anime costume. And I'm like, no idea what that is, where to find it. And maybe this is the point of this, to try to, like, branch out of the norms. Awfully quiet over there, Matt.
I think for me, some of the designs, like character designs and costumes when it comes to anime, they don't leave an imprint on me. Like, I don't think they're memorable in the way that some of those, like, great classic looks of characters that we all love and resonate with are.
They all seem very busy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It all seems overly complicated to the point where I'm like, oh, well, I don't know. Everybody's wearing a schoolgirl uniform and has a, you know, dog mask. I too could ever know.
Yeah, but it's like a schoolgirl uniform with like a vest on top of it, and then like one leather sleeve, and then like this head thing, and it seems way overdone.
Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely for this Star Wars show, it definitely was a Japanese show. I mean, like, obviously, the thing felt like I was watching, it could have been any Ronin story from Japan with a quasi coat of Star Wars paint on it, but like
a spritz,
little spritz, little, yeah. And like, there are certain aesthetic choices that distinctly make it Japanese. Like, for example, the antagonist, the evil Jedi woman, had these high heels on. Not in a million years would that happen today in a Western-made thing where your villainess is wearing high heels. Just wouldn't happen. Just wouldn't happen. Boots. That woman has boots. But in Japanese art, they are still like hypersexualizing women. I'm surprised her boobs were not like pouring out of her clothing. But
they probably were, and then Disney was like, well.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Hold
I mean,
on
it's,
here.
It's very possible that Disney probably had to rein in certain aesthetics as they were developing these things, because I think the portrayal, particularly of women, is so dramatically different in Japan versus like Western creators.
I got the sense that this one could have been insanely more violent too.
Yeah, what the sounds made it feel that way, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like those lightsabers sounded really aggressive, like very sequel trilogy sounding. Mm-hmm. You ever notice that the lightsabers sounded a little more powerful or something in the sequels?
I didn't notice the lightsabers, but I think just the way the stormtroopers were shooting, you know, the guys fighting back were shooting, the way that like Reese, I think it was, gets like lit up by that machine gun, that laser machine gun. Like, I think, I mean, I don't know if at some point they got the direction to pull back, but it really felt like if they wanted to make it like a real violent thing, they didn't have to go too far. It felt to me like they have a version of that in their back pocket.
Yeah, I thought the part when the R2-D2 droid shoots those missiles and it's like blasting everybody, that's probably when it got maybe the most violent. Well, I guess at the very end when that Sith woman killed Bosk, that was pretty violent. And then, mm-hmm. of course, at the end when Ronan stabbed her through the back. Ian, I thought it was pretty cool. And I know you guys didn't see the second episode. I did see it. I'll tell you, that was kind of cool too, even though it's really different than that. Much more lighthearted, but also much more connected to the Star Wars that we know. Like, really silly and offbeat, but like if you take it as just kind of like a non-connected thing, just having some fun with some existing characters and putting them in these situations or settings, it's pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
And in spite of its anime-ness, which will always be a roadblock for me when it comes to this kind of stuff, like the over exaggeration of reactions to things. Like I said to Paul, my public service to anime is settle down. It's a little too much. Just have to kind of ease up a bit.
There's a lot of noises. A lot of like, a lot of that in anime. I mean, if you isolate my clip, it's not. It may sound like something
Please
other than just
that,
anime.
Make that the clip for this week's episode.
But there is
when you put it on.
There,
online.
Yeah, there's like just a lot of that kind of stuff, and it's sort of, it's not real, like, I don't know, it just like stands out to me every time I'm watching some anime thing because it's so different.
Yeah, so another thing, the art style was so new. Like, it was a lot to take in, a lot of like
of
sensory overload.
Two.
No, for the first episode.
Yeah.
the style, the black and white with just kind of some kind of pops of color here and there, like on the light. Anything that basically was a light had color.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost distracting because it was so different. So it was difficult for me to kind of like really absorb just the story or even some of like the more detailed aesthetics. Like you had mentioned, Paul, the way that the stormtroopers, some of them only had like maybe the bottom portion of the helmets. Like, I don't even think I noticed that because I was probably looking at the way the texture was moving on a guy's like shirt because I was like, oh, that's kind of weird, like kind of stop motiony looking type
I
stuff.
I thought that when Sith Lady pops up out of the that AT-AT body and the way that cloak is flowing, like it looked just like a real cape blown in the wind.
Yeah, but like with a strobe light, like it was, you know, the frames of animation weren't super smooth. But I saw it twice now, and I feel like I still could probably watch it a third time to try to really get the most out of it.
Yeah, I felt that way watching it too, where it, like I couldn't just invest myself in the story because, like, there were times when, like, we see like the back of that Imperial, you know, cruiser, ship, AT-AT body, whatever you want to call it. It's like cutting through the woods, and it's the way that's 3D. But a lot of, you know, the charcoal illustrated people are more 2D. Mm-hmm. And when they're fighting in the water, dude goes over the edge of the edge of the waterfall. And but while I'm watching it, I'm watching the way the rocks along the river are 3D and the way the water looks so different than the people or even the rocks. Like, there's just so much visually to pull at aside from, oh, that's Bossk. That's R2 with a hat on. That's an Ugnaught. Like, there's so much coming at you from a Star Wars perspective, an art perspective, you know, storytelling. Like, I feel like that's a lot.
It was a lot. The second episode, it was not that visceral. But
I think that that's a benefit to, like, having a one-off, having it be 14 minutes.
Totally agree.
It's begging you to rewatch it and absorb it in that manner.
Yep. I don't mind that I rewatched it. It was good the second time. Mm-hmm. I liked it the first time. I would even watch the second one, which I don't think is... It's certainly not as cool as the first one, but it does create a pretty good atmosphere that just kind of works, even though it's really silly. It's like about a freaking intergalactic rock band that wants to play for Jabba the Hutt. It's, but like...
Known music lover.
It was weird.
Why would you want to be the house band at Jabba's palace?
Well...
Are there perks?
They wanted to do it because they wanted to save their friend, I guess, who like was a Hutt, but he was in the band too. There's another Hutt in the band.
Oh, boy.
And, like, Boba Fett comes to kidnap him or take him back to Jabba to kill him.
Is it fat Boba Fett or is it thin Boba Fett?
You know what it looks like? I really did not like the art style in it. Boba Fett looks like Dark Helmet from Spaceballs. little bit of body, big head that he looks like he's going to tip over. It looks like the Han Solo action figure is dressed like Boba Fett in this episode.
What I didn't realize until a couple minutes ago was that, like, so you're talking about the second episode. Oh, yeah, maybe I check this out. But now I'm going to have to check it out because we started it on my Disney Plus account, and it's going to be in my continue watching, and it's not going to go away until I finish this series.
There's definitely some way that you can take it out of your... Continue watching. Isn't
completionist,
there?
Buddy. Now that I started.
Oh, you're
when I go in. When I go in to finish WALL-E tomorrow, I'm gonna see that in there and be like, God damn it!
There's gonna be a button that says, "Would you like to remove this from your continue watching list?" And you're like, "No, I have to finish it.
I have to. My compulsion will not let me."
See, Ian gets it.
I guess
that's how it goes.
That's insanity. Just take it off your fucking list if you don't want to watch it.
Any other final thoughts about Star Wars Visions, Paul?
I was kind of hoping just the art styles of the other episodes would have jumped out to me that looked more different.
Yeah, but in fairness, there's stills. The stuff, yeah, obviously, yeah, we talked about how this animated, it was very different. I don't know what to expect after the second episode, but I can tell you that one and two are really, really different from each other.
I may go in and watch a couple more. They're bite-sized. You know, like we said, the longest one is 22 minutes. So I may go in and, you know, just peruse a little bit.
That's what I saw. 22 was the longest, but I don't know for sure.
And there are only 9 of these things. So yeah. As much as I was sort of indifferent, now I think I'm kind of in, and I'll probably watch
the rest of these. The more we talked about this first episode, like the more I'm interested in what it did and all of the stuff that it had to offer.
Yeah. It feels like a really detached take on Star Wars that might be kind of like what we need right now, where, you know, the story group isn't directing it. Although I will say, I've had a slight, this past week, a slight resurgence in my Star Wars interest, just maybe kind of dabbling a little in some of the existing EU, or I guess now the non-existing EU. Maybe, you know, maybe checking out some of those High Republic books, trying to block out
the new ones, right?
They're the new ones. A lot of negative sentiment around them, but generally that shit comes from a lot of
us.
Mostly negative. Well, we haven't read those, and I don't think we've really talked anything about them.
Don't they take place so far in the past, though, that
it's like 200
it's not really
years.
Gonna bump up against the stuff that we wouldn't want it to bump up against?
What do you mean?
So, like, I don't like a lot of stuff about the sequel trilogy because it tries to diminish what the original trilogy
did. Right.
High Republic is so far in the future, even if it butts up against the Phantom Menace, who cares? Like, I'm not that invested in the Phantom Menace, let alone what happened 200 years before that.
Well, wait, that sounds kind of like you're saying contradicting things there.
What I'm saying is I would probably be an easier critic about the High Republic because it takes place so much in the past.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect the stuff that I really like.
Right, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. I believe it's 200 years before The Phantom Menace. Yoda, I believe, is in it. But I mean, I've heard really, really loose synopses. Is that how I say mm-hmm. it? Of kind of the story, and I fail to hear anything about like a main bad guy, like a main antagonist. It sounds more like a group of pirates or like the bad guys.
Arr.
And that like sounds really uninteresting.
Sith pirates?
Me. I don't know. Like I think they're called the Nihil or something. Mm. But like I would want there to be, I don't know, maybe for me Star Wars is like one main Jedi hero and there's a main Sith villain and eventually they're going to have to face each other. I don't get the sense that that's what's going on here. I feel like it is a kind of hero by committee, like a whole group of characters. Like there's not that one main character. I don't know. But God damn it. I feel like just swallow some pride. Maybe it's good. Give it a shot. Make
Check
your own decisions.
McSauce is nothing if not an honest, trying podcast. We will give anything a chance.
Well, between the three of us, yeah, probably.
Yeah, one you can us, find one of us will be like, all right, I'll watch it.
Right.
I mean, if there's a new Harry Potter book, Ian is not going to watch it or read it. Why are you going to watch a book? But one of us are going to do it.
I'll just look at the book and be like, I don't know what's so great about this stuff.
They announced the title for the new Harry Potter movie, or the, what are they called? The Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah. Those are okay, actually. I don't mind those movies.
I only saw the
because
first one.
Because it's adults doing magic.
Yeah, I hate a kid.
Who is Dumbledore again?
Oh,
Isn't it Jude Law?
God damn it. Yeah, it is Jude Law. And he is so good.
Is he good?
He's great.
Because he's not in the first one, right?
I thought he...
I don't think he's definitely in the second one. I think he's just in the second one, but he does Richard Harris.
He does Richard Harris.
Which makes me very happy.
But like, Richard Harris was only in the first two, right?
Yeah.
So, like, and Dumbledore did a lot more after those first two. So, what's that actor's name?
Michael Gambon.
Michael Gambon really is the one that defined the character.
Yeah. I think maybe for a lot of people, people think Michael Gambon is Dumbledore. Yeah. But as I think I started reading those right after I saw The Sorcerer's Stone. Because I hated Harry Potter. I thought it was the dumbest shit. I was all out. And then I saw that movie and I was like, well, this is pretty good. So then I started reading the books and Dumbledore for two movies at that point.
Yeah, right.
I mean, all of the books weren't out. But the first time I read Prisoner of Azkaban, I don't think Michael Gambon was Dumbledore yet. So I only had
Richard
Harris. No, I think he started in... Let me look at Prisoner of... come on, Prisoner of... how many Prisoner movies are there?
Prisoners?
That's no, I mean specifically Prisoner of.
While you're looking that up, Paul, I believe the new movie, Ian, is called... maybe like The Secrets of Dumbledore or something like that. Dumbledore is like in the title.
Did he have a lot of
The Rise of Dumbledore, maybe?
Is he a secretive guy?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, yeah. Why am I even looking at this?
The Secrets of Dumbledore.
Michael Gambon is Dumbledore in Prisoner of Azkaban. But by the time, like, I read that before the movie came out.
Right.
So the only live action Dumbledore I had ever seen was Richard Harris.
How jarring that must have been for you to see that third movie.
Yeah, and it
with
got
that imposter.
I hated Prisoner of Azkaban when it came out. I hated it more than I hated that double-bladed lightsaber because it was so fucking different. Chris Columbus, this is not the Harry Potter podcast, but Chris Columbus was so faithful to the books in those first two movies, and I get the tone changes a little bit, and I get now what Alfonso Cuarón did was great. But I never liked Michael Gambon at all. And in any of those movies, I thought he was too, like, there was a weird regal playfulness with Richard Harris that Michael Gambon just never had.
Ian
Michael
is struggling Gambon, to understand what regal playfulness means.
Like, he was apart from Harry and the kids, but every so often he'd just be really warm and you'd get this other side of him where he was like everyone's dad. But Michael Gambon was just so fucking bonkers. It was like a schizophrenic as Dumbledore.
He had anime energy, you're saying?
They're just, yeah, like, I feel like there was just no... you never got the sense that...
there was no warmth.
There was no warmth and you never got the sense that this is Dumbledore. Because in those books, Dumbledore's talked about, like, trying to think of a good Star Wars analog, but he's held up in this, you know, everyone loves this guy. Albus,
he's like
Dumbledore,
boss.
Fucking Dumbledore.
He's the boss.
Right, like, he's the boss.
It's like
of
Bosk.
Harry Potter.
The Secrets of Bosk.
And basically, you never get the sense from Michael Gambon that he is that
he seems angry often in those movies, like he's yelling all the time. Not to gloat or anything, Ian, but I think the word warmth is a good way to describe Richard Harris's Dumbledore.
Very well, if we're doing a one-to-one to Bosk and I know of his warmth, then I guess you guys are correct.
That's right.
Reptile
Bosk,
alien. Bosk very warm.
Rosk. Rosk or Bosk is known as a...
oh, a warm alien.
a warm alien. He's warm-blooded for a reptile.
It's a caring kind of bounty hunting, if that makes sense. It's like regal, but, you know.
You really get the sense when he's standing on the Star Destroyer bridge that he's just going to catch Luke, and he's just going to give him a hug.
A big old reptilian smooch.
I think that's going to do it for us tonight, right?
That's a little early, but we can end it 6 minutes early if you want.
Ian, do you want to say anything for the next 6 minutes? Because we just spent 6 minutes on Harry Potter.
I tried to add a little bit there, so no, I've got nothing. We can end.
That will do it for us tonight. My name is Paul McGinty.
Ian Charpley.
Jack Cassell.
We'll see you next time.
That's a fact, Jack.